It's September 23rd. You're listening to the President's Daily Brief. I'm your host and former CIA officer, Brian Dean Wright. Your morning intel starts now. First up, the nation's kids are back in school. It's the first time for many since the COVID pandemic. So how are the kids doing academically and socially? Well, as it turns out, not very good. We'll discuss that, plus what you and I can do to help. As always, I'm keeping an eye out for developing stories. Put this one on your radar. An update on the war of attrition this morning. European nations are starting to realize how cold it's going to get this winter without Russian natural gas. We're going to talk about the latest measures that they are taking, from passing out blankets to taking out light bulbs. And finally, the last thing before I let you go, we are going to talk about a piece of advice that I got from a favorite teacher of mine years ago, and I will tell you, it is good. But first, let's get started with today's main brief. No matter what state you live in, America's kids have been back at school now for a couple of weeks. That is a very good thing for lots of folks out there. My parents in particular, you know what I'm talking about. A few hours of reprieve each day. But look, jokes aside, how are the kids doing? It's an important question because for the past 2 years, many of our young people were locked out of classrooms because of COVID policies. And that denied them a whole host of things like friendships, sports, tutoring, in-person instruction. And it begs the question whether there was a cost. And if there was, how do we fix it? Can we fix it? This morning, we are going to dive into those questions. But to do so, we have to have a baseline of how America's kids were doing academically before the pandemic and then compare it to today. So let's start with the past, right before the pandemic hit. In terms of money, we were actually doing pretty well. America has long spent more cash per student than most other countries in the world. Only four nations, Luxembourg, Norway, Iceland, and Austria, spend more than us. But America's test scores have not reflected that. In 2018, an analysis of 64 countries showed that America ranked 8th in reading skills, 11th in science, and 30th in math. Those scores have essentially been flat for decades. And if you dig into that data a bit further, there's actually one group of kids whose test scores weren't just flat, but actually declining. And those were kids from poor families. As one example of many, in one school district in the borough of Bronx, New York, only 7% of students who enter 9th grade were ready for college 4 years later. And for Black students, that figure dropped to 4%. Now, before the pandemic hit, there were a bunch of efforts trying to fix this, from private schools to charter schools, the latter of which are privately run but publicly funded. And there's some data that actually charter schools were working. So as an example, the Charter Schools Institute, which is a state-funded organization in New York, they released a study showing that charter schools in New York City vastly outperformed their counterparts in traditional public schools. So the point then, folks, is that we had an education problem in this country before the COVID pandemic arrived on our shores. But when it did, our politicians and public health officials decided to shut those schools down, shift everything to online or remote learning. So now that we are back in school, how are things looking? Well, to give it to you straight, the data show that we have an absolute disaster on our hands. Fresh data from the nation's report card, officially called the National Assessment of Educational Progress, they just found that the average fourth grader's reading score dropped 5 points since 2020. That's the most significant drop amongst that age group in over two decades. For math, the test results were even worse. The average nine-year-old scores dropped 7 points, the most disappointing outcome since 1973. Now, worse yet, these test results are even worse for our poor and disadvantaged students, especially brown and black kids. In math, for example, black students lost 13 points compared with 5 points amongst white students. But why is that? Why the lower test scores generally, and most especially amongst our poor and disadvantaged? We actually have the answer. Some very clear data tell the story. Last May, the nonpartisan Bureau of Economic Research looked at data from 2.1 million students in 10,000 schools in 49 states plus DC. What they found was that when school districts went remote over the past couple of years, academic achievement collapsed. And that was true for all students of remote learning, regardless of race or class. But remote learning hurt some kids more than others. The study found that the poorest kids of this country suffered the most because the school districts that they were in kept them in remote learning 5.5 weeks longer than kids from wealthier families. In other words, remote learning is a terrible way for children to learn. But that's exactly what our most disadvantaged kids got. There's also a political connection here, and as awkward as this might be, we need to talk about it. Data from this same study of 49 states showed that the worst test scores were in states run by Democrats. And the reason is that those folks stuck with remote learning longer than Republican states. Again, that's from the nonpartisan Bureau of Economic Research, looking at over 2 million students, 10,000 schools, and 49 states. So this is not a political statement here. It's a statement of fact. Now, academics are just one part of this equation when we ask how the kids of America are doing. In addition to faltering test scores, data suggests that discipline in the classroom has suffered too, especially since the start of the pandemic. According to data from Duke and Columbia Universities, the pandemic has made kids increasingly uncooperative and unruly with their teachers and each other. The universities assess that student mental health and social skills suffered because of isolation and a lack of friendships. Now, we have actually more data on this unruly student issue from another survey in May. It's actually from American Teachers and Principals. Of the 850 participants questioned, a third of them said that they saw an uptick in student fights or physical attacks when students returned for in-person learning. So for some teachers, this entire saga of shutdowns and unruly students has led to a breaking point. Well, first, they're burnt out. According to a recent Gallup survey, 52% of K-12 teachers report that they feel burnt out. That's the highest level amongst all other industries and careers, including law enforcement. Now, second, this burnout has led to teachers quitting in droves. The U.S. Department of Labor recently reported that some 300,000 public school teachers and other educational staff left their jobs in the past 2 years. That's a nearly 3% drop in that workforce. As a result, students have returned this fall to understaffed schools. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, 44% of public schools are reporting teaching vacancies at the start of this year, more than half due to resignations. So research shows that these shortages disproportionately impact four kinds of kids: students of color, students from low-income backgrounds, students with disabilities, and students from rural communities. So folks, that means that we have two very big problems. First, America's kids are not doing all right. Remote learning has destroyed over two decades of academic progress, especially for poor, rural, and minority students. Meanwhile, the very people who could help them, teachers, are overburdened and hitting their breaking points. So all in all, we've got a crisis. And that is, of course, very bad news. But there is reason to hope. So let's now pivot from facts and data this morning to analysis and opinion. And let's start with this. How do we fix this problem? On the teacher front, states and school districts are getting creative in finding new teachers, supporting those who remain, and embracing schools that are either public or private. So for example, in Florida, schools are recruiting military veterans to lead classroom instruction while they earn education credentials. Meanwhile, charter schools are continuing to be an important solution, as data from New York and elsewhere continue to show that they can deliver. Finally, the Supreme Court ruled earlier this summer, in a case called Carson versus Malkin, that parents can send their kids to religious schools using public money. So that should be an option for families to consider. But there's something else critical that we need to talk about, something that contributes to teacher burnout, poor test scores, and unruly classrooms. And that's the health of the American family. Specifically, parents getting involved in their children's lives, especially at school. Now, this is a very big topic, but I want to share a story with you. A story of what happens when parents and family members get involved in a relatively small way. Last year, a high school in Shreveport, Louisiana became overwhelmed by violence. There were frequent assaults against teachers and staff. There were brawls between rival gang members. So school administrators called an emergency meeting with parents. And after a few hours of discussion, a group of fathers came up with a pretty novel solution. It was called Dads on Duty. Around 40 men, not just fathers, but uncles and grandfathers and brothers, they all organized into six-person shifts to spend time on campus during the school day. Not necessarily patrolling like security guards, but just making themselves visible, offering smiles, affirmation, maybe the occasional dad joke. As a result of this relatively simple idea, fights on campus in Shreveport declined, and gang violence stopped immediately. Teachers were absolutely elated. They got their classrooms back. So folks, that's the power of being present, of getting involved. One shift of dedicated adults, dads especially, well, one at a time. So the great news here is that all of us can do this. You don't even have to have kids. Anybody can volunteer just a few hours every week and do what they did in Louisiana. So if your spirit is called to take action this morning, talk to your local school district and organize a group of dads from church or the gym or your golf buddies. Ask how you can help. Ask if they need some dads or moms on duty. And by the way, if the school district is full of a bunch of ninnies, a bunch of no thank yous, well, it sounds like you might have to run for the school board. And that's actually not a joke. That is an earnest challenge. And that's because, we are going to have another pandemic at some point. In fact, we hear public health officials say that all the time. Politicians say it too. And when the next one comes around, we are going to need better leadership than what we had during this last pandemic, which was full of panic and hysteria. Because what I think this brief shows us this morning is that we've got to do better for our teachers, for our communities, and for our kids. We've got to do better for the very future of our country. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, a closer look at what's on my radar. One brief for you on the war of attrition and how Europe is getting ready. We'll be right back.
Hi, Mike Baker here. Look, nowadays, it seems like your money doesn't go quite as far as it used to, right? I mean, take 20 bucks. 20 bucks barely gets you what? Maybe a burger and fries or maybe, a quarter tank of gas? But there still are some real values out there, and let me tell you about one of them. For just 20 bucks a month, that same $20 we just talked about, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from the cell phone company that I count on for value, Pure Talk. And this is top-tier coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. I want to make sure you heard that. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. It's true. I am not blowing smoke up your phone line. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can bring your phone, or you get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. To make the switch, go to puretalk.com/Baker, B-A-K-E-R, just like you imagined it would be. When you do, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares your values. Pure Talk supports our military and veterans and creates American jobs, all while giving you outstanding coverage and terrific value. Go to puretalk.com/Baker and make the switch today. So maybe you could actually afford that burger and fries and possibly even a full tank of gas. That's puretalk.com/Baker.
Hey everyone, Mike Baker here to talk about one of my favorite subjects, cigars. I know, you thought I was going to say martinis. That's another favorite, but right now I'm talking cigars. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know where tradition meets innovation and where craftsmanship reigns supreme? Well, the answer, of course, you know this, is Foundation Cigar. I hope by now, after listening to me bang on about Foundation Cigar, that you've wandered down to your local shop to purchase some of these great sticks. Now, clearly, I'm a big fan of Foundation Cigar, including their latest offering, the Wise Man Corojo and Madura, inspired by Nicaraguan heritage and handcrafted in collaboration with my father's cigars. Look, these cigars are the pinnacle of rich flavor and bold character. They really are the perfect gift to cigar lovers in your life. Maybe it's your pop, your brothers, your friends, and, well, of course, don't forget yourself. Go get a few and have them on deck for your next gathering. Be a hero. Maybe it's on the golf course or poker night, wherever you and your pals are getting together. Ignite your senses and indulge in the artistry of these premium cigars from Foundation Cigar. You can check out their website, foundationcigar.com, or purchase at a local cigar shop near you.
Welcome back to the PDB. As always, I'm watching a few other stories this morning. Put this one on your radar. When we talk about the war of attrition, the war between Russia, Ukraine, and the West, it's sometimes hard to really grasp how bad things are getting in Europe as they try to avoid freezing this winter, having been cut off from Russia's natural gas. Well, this morning, we've got some very personal examples of what people in Europe are having to endure and what governments are doing to scramble to prepare. So let's start in the Czech Republic. Yesterday, the national government announced that they were going to unscrew all light bulbs in government buildings and only replace half of them. And the replacements would be a special type of LED light bulbs. They're also installing sensors in office hallways. Movement will turn lights on now, no switches required. And they're turning off festive floodlights of all major landmarks. Finally, they're also lowering the heat from 72 degrees to 59 degrees, advising citizens to do the same. Moving from the Czech Republic to Romania, they're shutting off half of the exterior lights on the Parliament building. Plus, festive lighting on major landmarks will be cut to no more than 2 hours per night. From Romania, we go to Poland. Government officials there are being required to turn off their computers when they leave for the day and disconnect all chargers. External lights on government buildings like the finance ministry will be limited to 2 hours and only on weekends. In Poland, they're also replacing 38,000 light bulbs in street lamps, sort of like they're doing in the Czech Republic. Next, let's talk Denmark. The heat in government buildings cannot be higher now than 66 degrees. Banks in that country are now handing out blankets and jackets to both employees and customers. So all of this, by the way, is according to reports from Reuters, Bloomberg, and the Wall Street Journal. One final story on how bad it's getting. In the Netherlands, a family bakery shared with reporters that last year, their monthly gas and electricity bill ran their business around $3,400 a month. This year, $18,300 a month. That's a $15,000 monthly increase. The owner of that bakery, Dennis Tubast, said, quote, "Our monthly income has vanished. We are now working to pay the energy bills." Some pretty sobering stuff. Folks, this war of attrition is going to get very bad this winter. And as it does, I will bring you both stories of struggle and hope, because we are going to need both to be informed and sometimes to just get through it. And with that, I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back.
Mike Baker here. When I say the word preparedness, what do you think of? What? Preppers? Doomsday bunkers? Well, the reality is, being prepared for any number of problems or difficulties should be a concern for everyone. You're out hiking or you're camping and you become ill or get injured. The power maybe goes out, the roads are closed, and you've got a child or elderly person at home who gets sick and needs treatment. Or your college student is away at university and gets sick. Maybe you're on holiday somewhere exotic and fun, and your trip is suddenly threatened due to illness. Now you see what I'm getting at. Being prepared for a medical emergency is just being smart. Introducing the Jase Case, Jase, J-A-S-E, your personalized emergency medication kit with 5 essential antibiotics addressing common and deadly bacterial infections. Doctor created and recommended, it ensures that you're ready for any emergency. And getting a Jase Case is simple. Look, I've done it, and seriously, it could not be any easier. It took no time at all, and the case arrived in days. Just fill out the online form at jasemedical.com. From online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery, ongoing consultation and care, Jase handles it all. Visit jasemedical.com and use code Mike, that's M-I-K-E, just like you probably thought, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your order. Again, that's jasemedical.com and use code Mike. Don't wait until it's too late.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and 2 children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back to the PDB, ladies and gentlemen. I've got one more thing before I let you go. Jacqueline in Honolulu, Hawaii wrote in wondering what got me started at the CIA and specifically if there was a teacher who encouraged me. Well, Jacqueline, I have had quite a few teachers in my life who've done a lot of amazing things for me. First, my mom. She went back to college when I was a boy and she became a special education teacher. I've also got two brothers, both of whom teach. And there's one person who is no longer with us. It's a man named Earl Trigstead. And what a man he was. He was born in 1933. He grew up in Chicago, joined the Navy, and served on the aircraft carrier Roosevelt during the Korean War. He went on to become a football coach and a teacher, government and history specifically. And what a teacher he was. On the very first day of civics class, Mr. Trigstead, or Trigger, as we used to call him, well, he quieted us down and he stared at us for what felt like an eternity. And then he turned around to the chalkboard and he wrote two words, eternal vigilance. And then he turned back around and he pointed at those words and he said, for the rest of this class, for the rest of this semester, and for the rest of your life, you will remember those words because your government will ruin you and your freedoms unless you are eternally vigilant. Man, I was probably 16 years old at the time, but I'll tell you, that man and that moment are burned into my mind like a fire hot poker on cowhide because he was right. For the rest of that class, we learned about how our government could serve the people. Or how it could ruin the people. We talked about power, corruption, good versus evil. Trigger came from that generation of men and women who just got it. They lived through the era of real Nazis, real tyranny. They faced it and they died from it. And while they loved this country so very much, they also understood that we were an imperfect union. And that even in America, otherwise good people could go very bad. And the only way to stop it was eternal vigilance. Trigger passed away 4 years ago, diagnosed with brain cancer on May 11th, and the Lord took him home 4 months later. But what a legacy he left behind. Serving his country, coaching football, raising his four children along with his lovely wife, Jeannie. And for the young men and women who were in his classroom, he left a legacy of how to live with integrity and honor and love of country. And what he helped me and so many others realize is that loving this country means vigilance against unchecked power, against corruption, and against our enemies, both foreign and domestic. We sure miss you, Trigger. Until we meet again. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes your morning brief. As always, we close out the show reminding each other of why we are here, talking about our country and our world. It's the creed of every good spy and every smart American. It's from John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.